the medical missionary work, and the third angel's message. Again and again I have been instructed that the medical missionary work is to bear the same relation to the work of the third angel's message that the arm and hand bear to the body. Under the direction of the divine head, they are to work unitedly in preparing the way for the coming of Christ. The right arm of the body of truth is to be constantly active, constantly at work, and God will strengthen it. But it is not to be made the body. At the same time, the body is not to say to the arm, I have need of thee. The body has need of the arm in order to do active, aggressive work. Both have their appointed work. Each will suffer great loss if worked independently of the other. The work of preaching the third angel's message has not been regarded by some as God designs it should be. It has been treated as an inferior work, while it should occupy an important place among the human agencies in the salvation of man. The minds of men must be called to the Scriptures as the most effective agency in the salvation of souls, and the ministry of the Word is the great educational force to produce this result. Those who disparage the ministry and try to conduct the medical missionary work independently are trying to separate the arm from the body. What should be the result? Should they succeed, we should see hands and arms flying about, dispensing means without the direction of the head. The work would become disproportionate and unbalanced. That which God designed should be the hand and the arm would take the place of the whole body, and the ministry would be belittled or altogether ignored. This would unsettle minds and bring in confusion, and many portions of the Lord's vineyard would be left unworked. The medical missionary work should be a part of the work of every church in our land. Disconnected from the church, it would soon become a strange medley of disorganized atoms. It would consume but not produce. Instead of acting as God's helping hand to forward His truth, it would sap the life and force from the church and weaken the message. Conducted independently, it would not only consume talent and means needed in other lines, but in the very work of helping the helpless, apart from the ministry of the Word, it would place them where they would scoff at Bible truth. The gospel ministry is needed to give permanence and stability to the medical missionary work, and the ministry needs the medical missionary work to demonstrate the practical working of the gospel. Neither part of the work is complete without the other. The message of the soon coming of the Savior must be given in all parts of the world, and a solemn dignity should characterize it in every branch. A large vineyard is to be worked, and the wise husbandman will work it so that every part will produce fruit. If in the medical missionary work the living principles of truth are kept pure, uncontaminated by anything that would dim their luster, the Lord will preside over the work. If those who bear the heavy burdens will stand true and steadfast to the principles of truth, the Lord will uphold and sustain them. The union that should exist between the medical missionary work and the ministry is clearly set forth in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. There is wisdom and blessing for those who will engage in the work as here presented. This chapter is explicit, and there is in it enough to enlighten anyone who wishes to do the will of God. It presents abundant opportunity to minister to suffering humanity, and at the same time to be an instrument in God's hand in bringing the light of truth before a perishing world. If the work of the third angel's message is carried on in right lines, the ministry will not be given an inferior place, nor will the poor and sick be neglected. In His Word, God united these two lines of work, and no man should divorce them. There may be, and there is, danger of losing sight of the great principles of truth when doing the work for the poor that it is right to do, but we are ever to bear in mind that in carrying forward this work, the spiritual necessities of the soul are to be kept prominent. In our efforts to relieve temporal necessities, we are in danger of separating from the last gospel message its leading and most urgent features. As it has been carried on in some places, the medical missionary work has absorbed talent and means that belong to other lines of work, and the effort in lines more directly spiritual has been neglected. Because of the ever-increasing opportunities for ministering to the temporal needs of all classes, there is a danger that this work will eclipse the message that God has given us to bear in every city. The proclamation of the soon coming of Christ, the necessity of obedience to the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus. This message is the burden of our work. It is to be proclaimed with a loud cry and is to go to the whole world. In both home and foreign fields, the presentation of health principles must be united with it, but not be independent of it or in any way take its place. Neither should this work absorb so much attention as to belittle other branches. The Lord has instructed us to consider the work in all its bearings, that it may have a proportionate, symmetrical, well-balanced development. The truth for this time embraces the whole gospel. Rightly presented, it will work in man the very changes that will make evident the power of God's grace upon the heart. It will do a complete work and develop a complete man. Then let no line be drawn between the genuine medical missionary work and the gospel ministry. Let these two blend in giving the invitation, "Come, for all things are now ready." Let them be joined in an inseparable union, even as the arm is joined to the body. Medical missionary workers. The Lord has need of all kinds of skillful workmen. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:11-13. Every child of God should have sanctified judgment to consider the cause as a whole and the relation of each part to every other part, that none may lack. The field is large, and there is a great work of reform to be carried forward, not in one or two lines, but in every line. The medical missionary work is a part of this work of reform, but it should never become the means of separating the workers in the ministry from their field of labor. The education of students in medical missionary work lines is not complete unless they are trained to work in connection with the church and the ministry, and the usefulness of those who are preparing for the ministry would be greatly increased if they would become intelligent in the great and important subject of health. The influence of the Holy Spirit is needed that the work may be properly balanced and it may move forward solidly in every line. Press together. The Lord's work is one and His people are to be one. He has not directed that any one feature of the message should be carried on independently or become all-absorbing. In all His labors, He united the medical missionary work with the ministry of the Word. He sent out the 12 apostles and afterward the 70 to preach the gospel to the people, and He gave them power also to heal the sick and to cast out devils in His name. Thus should the Lord's messengers enter His work today. Today the message comes to us, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." John 20:21-22. Satan will invent every possible scheme to separate those whom God is seeking to make one, but we must not be misled by his devices. If the medical missionary work is carried on as a part of the gospel, worldlings will see the good that is being done. They will be convicted of its genuineness and will give it their support. We are nearing the end of this earth's history, and God calls upon all to lift the standard bearing the inscription, "Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." He calls upon His people to work in perfect harmony. He calls upon those engaged in our medical work to unite with the ministry. He calls upon the ministry to cooperate with the medical missionary workers. And He calls upon the church to take up their appointed duty, holding up the standard of true reform in our own territory, leaving the trained and experienced workers to press on into new fields. No word is to be spoken to discourage any, for this grieves the heart of Christ and greatly pleases the adversary. All need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. All should refrain from censuring and disparaging remarks and draw near to Christ, that they may appreciate the heavy responsibilities which the workers with Him are carrying. Press together, are the words of our divine instructor. Unity is strength. Disunion is weakness and defeat. In our work for the poor and unfortunate, we shall need to be guarded lest we gather responsibilities which we shall not be able to carry. Before adopting plans and methods that require a large outlay of means, we are to consider whether they bear the divine signature. God does not sanction the pushing forward of one line of work without regard to other lines. He designs that the medical missionary work shall prepare the way for the presentation of the saving truth for this time, the proclamation of the third angel's message. If this divine design is met, the message will not be eclipsed nor its progress hindered. It is not numerous institutions, large buildings, or great display that God requires, but the harmonious action of a peculiar people, a people chosen by God and precious. Every man is to stand in his lot and place, thinking, speaking, and acting in harmony with the Spirit of God. Then, and not till then, will the work be a complete, symmetrical whole.